Dan, he's sick this week, so pray for him and pray for Sister Wall. Brother and Sister Wall celebrated their 60th anniversary this week, and the Matachira is their 44th. So pray for all of them, if you would. And remember Peter and Joel, they would get feeling better. Pray for the Mulders traveling. And remember my folks in prayer. So lots of needs there. And Brother Perry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Okay, Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So we looked at these first three verses last week. And so the point here is, as we go on, is how do you get released from the dominion of the law? Okay, the Romans chapter 7 per se, the major thrust of it is not about marriage, although it starts that way. The reason it starts that way is because it is giving an illustration here. So the whole point is, how do we get released from the dominion of the law? Well, only one way. It's death. Now, this passage is not teaching couples who are in an unhappy marriage relationship to pray for the death of their spouse. So I just want you to know that right to the start. This is not the recipe to ending an unhappy marriage. Okay, it's just an illustration that the dominion of the law is over us until we die. The Jews, you know, when Jesus came along and John the Baptist came along previously, and the Jewish people had, well, I can think of his word as degraded, but degenerated would probably be better, into thinking that the law could save them. And the law was never given to save. The law was never given as a means to save someone. It was given because of man's lawlessness and to show man his need. The law would become a schoolmaster. But let's look at a few verses here. You might want to hold your place here in Romans 7, but let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Hebrews 10, 1. The Bible says, for the law having a what? A shadow of good things to come. So the shadow is not, you know, you can be sitting in the shadow of an apple tree. I don't think because of the leaves, the sun is going to cast a shadow of an actual apple, but if you could get a shadow of an actual apple, you can't eat the shadow of an apple. You can eat an apple, but you can't eat its shadow. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. A shadow is never going to bring fulfillment. The shadow. The shadow is being cast by the real thing. But you need the real thing. The shadow is not fulfilling. And so it's the same way. The law was a shadow of good things to come. The law could never satisfy. The law could never save. That's the whole point here, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that what? Blood of bulls and goats should what?
Take away sins.
There it is. Verse 4 is just, there it is clearly. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So how were people saved in the Old Testament? Same way as us. And as we read on and in chapter 11, it's by faith. Abraham looked ahead by faith. He saw Jesus' day and was glad. If you hold your place here for a moment, notice with me in John chapter 8. You see, there are a lot of people that believe that people in the Old Testament were saved by keeping the law and offering sacrifices. Then they think, well, the way we are saved today is we believe on Jesus. Well, that is not correct. We just saw in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. If you notice in John 8:56, Jesus said, your father, who?
Abraham.
Rejoice to see what?
My day.
And he saw it and was what?
Glad.
Abraham was looking ahead by faith. When it come to offering up his son Isaac, he had said previously, God will provide a sacrifice. God will provide a lamb. And so he was looking ahead by faith. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Let's go back there into Hebrews 10. So in verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a what? A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of what? The body of Jesus Christ, and then what?
Once for all.
So all those animal sacrifices never took away sins. That's why they had to keep giving them, because they were only a shadow. You know, it's kind of like I've heard of people getting maxed out on credit cards before. And so what they'll do is they'll subscribe to another credit card that will allow you to roll over amounts. And so I heard about someone once, no one here, but did that when building a house. They would order all this material, and then, of course, if you don't pay it in the specified amount of time, then you have to pay interest. And so they would roll it over to a new credit card. And then when that was due, roll it over to a new credit card. And when that was due, roll it over to a new credit card. That's a dangerous way to live, isn't it? Yes. So Jesus is the one sacrifice. He paid the price for our sin. So verse 10 there. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know, sacrifices in the Old Testament were like writing a check. You know, by faith, they would offer these sacrifices, showing that they were looking ahead to the sacrifice of the Messiah to come. But those sacrifices were like a check. The payment had to be made, and that payment was Jesus Christ. I mean, we can write checks and write checks and write checks, but the store has to get some actual money. And so, same way with these sacrifices, the real payment had to come. Notice with me then in Galatians 2. Galatians 2. So the law was meant to point them, to show them their need of Christ. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by what? The works of the law. But by what? The faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Notice in Galatians 2:21. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead, what?
In vain.
You need to stop and think about that. For these people who believe that, okay, yeah, in the Old Testament, they got saved by offering sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Well, if that saved them, then why was it necessary for Jesus to come along and die? I mean, would you sacrifice your child if it was not necessary? If animals could just keep being sacrificed, would you give your son to be sacrificed? Of course not. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If Old Testament saints were saints because they kept the law and offered sacrifices, then Jesus died for nothing. Because if they were being saved without his death, then why have him die? Notice in Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham did what?
Believed God.
And it was accounted to him for what?
Righteousness.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same, are the children of Abraham. So are we the children of Abraham? Yes. Why? Because we have by faith come to God. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under what? The curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in what? All things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It's kind of like the young man who came to Jesus and he said, he's looking for how can I get to heaven? And so the law gets brought up. And what was this question? Which commandments do I have to do? So it's like, stop and think about that. God gives the law. Are any of them not important? But his answer is, which ones? You know, these are all your law. Which ones do I have to keep to go to heaven? It's like, then you want to disobey. Are you asking me if you can disobey as many of the laws as you want and still go to heaven? He should have known automatically, well, if God gives the law, I need to keep it. But that's the heart of man. So the law was a schoolmaster. Notice in Galatians 3:19. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of what?
Transgressions.
Why do we have so many laws today? The same reason, because of transgression. Why is there a speed limit out there? Well, I assume because it's like Haiti. They tarred the road in front of Brother Wall's house and compound there. And what's happening now? All kinds of those people are dying. And it's mostly motorcycles. And because it's a smooth road, it's tarred, and they're just going as fast as they want to, not realizing the dangers to themselves and others. So many have died. So the law is added because of transgressions, and it's that way in every area of life. There are so many laws. The reason? Because someone breaks them. It's like, I don't know if you heard this week, there's a man that's running for governor of New York, and he was speaking somewhere this week out there, and some guy came up in front of him while he was speaking and said, "You're done." And well, it looked like a short knife, but I guess what it was is like, they had a name for him, but it wasn't brass knuckles, but it was some type of knuckles with like sharp, anyway, things on the end of them. And he wasn't able to hurt this congressman. But anyway, so the police come, they haul him away. And the congressman says, "You just wait. This guy will be out shortly." And he was. They took him to the police station. Obviously, he was arrested, but took him to the police station and then let him go, for his court date. So it's like, this man has just threatened to kill somebody, and in a few minutes, he's back out on the street. Well, I read then after that on Saturday, he was charged with a federal crime because of it. So now he's in jail. He's actually in jail, and I don't know if there's like $1 million bond out on him, or I forget. Maybe there is no bond. Maybe he couldn't get out if he wanted to. Now I'm not sure about that detail, but that's why there are so many laws, because of people like that and people that have no common sense. I mean, you have someone that just threatened to kill somebody. Are you going to let him back out on the street? People that are in charge of the laws in situations like that are so foolish. They don't have the fear of God. So as we read on here in Galatians 3 and verse 19. Galatians 3:19. "Wherefore then serveth the law that was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our what? Our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So, well, let's get back to Romans 7. Romans 7 here. So, this chapter is dealing with how do you get out from under the dominion of the law? Well, and it starts out the first three verses giving us an example. Well, there's only one way to get out from the dominion of the law. You've got to die. Well, what does that mean to us? Are we supposed to follow people like Jim Jones years ago and drink the poison drink? No. Verse 4. Romans 7:4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by what?
The body of Christ.
That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto what? Death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being what? Dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of what? Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. So we have two things here. Number two, we saw last week the dominion of the law. That's number one, the dominion of the law. Number two is the death of the flesh. That's how to get out from under the dominion of the law, is for the flesh to die. And then we see number three, the delight of the Spirit in verse 6. So when we're talking about the death to the flesh, we're not talking about this physical flesh literally dying. We're talking about death to the world, the flesh, and the devil, the lust of the flesh we're talking about. So how does this work? Verse 6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Well, that's the whole picture of baptism. Notice back in chapter 6, Romans 6. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into what? His death. So what are we talking about? Does that mean we hold people under the water until they die? No. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of what? His death. We shall be also in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not what? Serve sin. So how does all this work? Well, let me just give you an example. And Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 19. Ephesians 5:19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay. Now, how do I view this? Do I view this as, oh boy, someone trying to tell me what to do? Someone trying to tell me what music I can listen to and what music I can't listen to? Is that how we respond to this verse? Notice in Colossians 3, tells us the same thing. Colossians 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The same thing. How do we respond to things like this? How can I look at verses like this and every other admonition from God? How can I look at them as in the right way and not look at them like, oh boy, someone's always trying to tell me what to do? It's very simple. How do we get rid of the dominion of the law? It told us in Romans 7. The flesh dies. The flesh must die. So, how does this work? Let's go back to Romans. Let's go to chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in what?
Christ Jesus,
who walk not after what?
The flesh.
But after what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what?
Free.
Free from the law of sin and death. There it is. How do you get rid of this dominion of the law? Put the flesh to death. We're talking spiritually speaking here, and live for Christ. Then all these things will not seem like dominion. No one ever told me that I had to quit listening to rock music, or I had to quit listening to contemporary Christian music, which has the exact same rock beat. There was a time in my life when I listened to the wrong types of music, and no one came along and said, turn that off. Stop listening to that. What happened was that I saw the emptiness of the direction of my life, and I was seeking for the Lord's help. Lord, what do I need to do? What's wrong? And it was the Lord that spoke to my heart. I was listening to the wrong music. So at the time, I was riding back and forth to work, where I was carpooling with someone, and the radio was always on in both of our vehicles, on the rock station. And when God spoke to my heart, I thought, wow, this is going to be a really tense ride to work this morning. Dead silent. Used to that music blaring. And it was very awkward that morning, but I kept it off. And so I quit listening to rock music, and then I graduated to, back then they called them Christian quartets. It was Southern gospel. And so my wife and I went to Grand Rapids. You know, the people from our church, they'd always send a big group down to listen to the gospel quartets in Grand Rapids. And so my wife and I was talking about the different groups. There's a bunch of groups that was performing. And so I think it was on our way home from one of them. You know, it was like, which group did you like the best? She said, And I said, I didn't care for that group. I said, I like this group the best. And you know why? Because they had the most wild drummer. That's why I like that group the best. And okay, so I've rejected rock music, but now, so I've gone to this Christian music. But now I find that what I'm really delighting in is that beat, that rock beat. It was my flesh that liked that rock beat. And so I realized, you know what? This isn't Christian music. I know that's what they call it. In fact, that might have been the night we were down there. And I don't know what exactly happened, but there was a man that was kind of overseeing the whole thing. You know, he'd like have announcements and different things, and he'd come out there, and it was really kind of tense at the end, but he must have made it known that a certain group that performed that night would not be invited back again. It was probably the one that my flesh liked, probably. And you know what? I realized that music is wrong. I don't care if they call it Christian. And no one was telling me, you can't go to the gospel quartets anymore because they have the wrong beat. No one was telling me that. It was, I was seeking after God. I was searching for peace in my heart, in my life. And I'd forsaken the worldly rock music. And now I had gone to rock music with Christian words. And I'm finding that my flesh is going after that rebellious beat. You know, that group, I guess, was probably the one that was getting kicked out. Notice with me in Romans 8:6. For to be what? Carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. That was it. I was looking for life and peace, but I wasn't finding it in something called Christian, but really wasn't Christian. It was feeding my flesh. And so how did I break the dominion of the law? If you look back once again at Ephesians 5:19, no one came along to me and, as I said, and no one came along to me and said, you can't listen to rock music anymore. You can't listen to contemporary Christian music anymore or Southern gospel. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, that kind of music, no one calls it psalms and hymns. The Christian contemporary rock, nobody calls it psalms and hymns. They call it spiritual music. But it is not spiritual because it arouses the flesh. It reaches the flesh. We just saw in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life in peace. So I don't know if I illustrated that enough where you could catch it or not, but that's it. How do you break the dominion of the law? Well, we're going to have laws over us until we what? Die. So that's it. If we look at the law as oppressive over us, it's because we're not dead. If we look at God's laws as oppressive, Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16, if we look at that as oppressive, well, just those three types of music, why is God always trying to tell me what to do? You know, if I have that attitude, I am not spiritual. I'm carnal. I'm feeling the dominion of the law because my flesh is still alive. My worldly flesh is still alive. If I want to have life and peace, it's like baptism. I mean, that's why after we get saved, we get baptized. It pictures death to the old life of sin, resurrection to a new life in Christ. You know, the problem is, people have all these things in their lives and many things are wrong. But when you take those things out, you've got to have something to do. It's kind of like someone that smokes. You know, if someone smokes, they're just used to that, lighting up, putting it in their mouth. And so it's like sometimes people chew gum. You know, if they're trying to break the habit of smoking and actually they have gum with nicotine in it, that must be gross. Wouldn't you think? Chewing gum that, well, I don't know what nicotine tastes like, but I know what it smells like, at least the smoke of cigarettes. I just can't imagine chewing gum that tastes like cigarette smell. I don't know. Sounds gross to me. But replace it. So that's just it. You know, lost sinners are used to being around their unsaved people. They're drinking and living for the world. And, you know, when they get saved, they're taking some things out of the life, and so they need it replaced, but that's where the fellowship comes. That's where going to God's house, you know, they spent years in the bar, now they need to spend their life with something fruitful in God's house, in the church, with true friends. And so the dominion of the law, people feel the weight.
if we feel the weight of some of God's commands, the problem is our flesh is still alive. And Lord willing, next week we'll go on in Romans chapter 7, but that's what Paul said. There's a battle raging, and the only way to get rid of it is reckon the flesh dead. I did not say commit suicide. I said the Bible teaches reckoning the flesh dead. And you know what? When I reckoned my flesh dead, you know, it was God that showed me. No one told me to quit listening to rock music. God showed me, you know, you're searching for life and peace. Get rid of that. Okay, I got rid of that. I go to contemporary gospel quartets, Southern gospel, same beat. No one told me to stop. It's, Mike, do you really want life and peace? Then you got to quit feeding your flesh. Get rid of that. And you know what now? I don't feel the weight of Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16. I don't feel that that's some law, some big stick being held over my head. Now, don't you listen to that kind of music. The point is now is I don't want to listen to that kind of music. Do you know why? That part of my life is dead. It's kind of like yesterday downtown they had Main Street blocked off for fancy cars, you know, that more and more it seems like it's people my age, you know, their lives are all into the show cars. And my life used to be wrapped up in things like that, but not anymore. And so, you know, they can spend their money on that kind of stuff if they want to, but I'm free from that. I don't have the pressure anymore. So, well, we need to close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life. We thank you for the peace that comes when we reckon the flesh dead and then live for you. Oh, it's so much more enjoyable living for you. And Father, I know I testify to you that you are not oppressive, but just a blessing to my heart. The things that really do bring me joy and peace are the things in your word, and I do not find those oppressive, but I find that true liberty. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, that this world, even many professing Christians in this world, think of the scripture as oppressive, and it just shows where they're living. Lord, please touch our hearts. Help us to have the joy of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.